Scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning in the 25th verse and continuing through the 37th verse, Luke 10, 25 through 37. And on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" And he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And in reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Priest happened to be going down that same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" And the expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." The word of the Lord. What must I do? Go and do likewise. So what do I got to do? What do I got to do to get some attention around here? What do I got to do? What do I got to do to get some service around here? What do I got to do to pass this class? What do I got to do? Go and do likewise. You may remember how the story came about. Maybe you do. It's a familiar story to us, a Good Samaritan. But you might remember that Jesus was headed from Jerusalem to Jericho, and there was a village along the way, and he got in conversation with a local attorney. And the local attorney began pressing Jesus, perhaps trying to find a weakness in his armor, I don't know. He was, in a sense, cross-examining Jesus for others on the witness stand, and he says, "In your view, Jesus, in your view, what do I got to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, in some way, replied to him, "Well, you're the lawyer. What does it say in the law?" Well, the attorney knew the law of Moses and quoted it. "The law says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus says, "There you have it. There it is. You're right. You love God fully and love your neighbor as yourself. Do this and you will live." But the lawyer would not drop the matter so easily. And perhaps, the scriptures say, he's trying to justify himself. He says, "There's a problem with your definitions here, Jesus. Just what do you mean by neighbor? Who exactly is my neighbor?" And in response to that question, Jesus tells a story, a parable, an account that we often say is the Good Samaritan. That never says he's the Good Samaritan, but we just assume he is, right? Because he's a Samaritan, something happened. Anyway, he tells us a story, and it's a story that's not too unfamiliar that might really happen. Man travels between Jerusalem and Jericho, and it's a dangerous road. Along that road, robbers beat him and steal from him and leave that man in desperate need of help. That was a road that was notoriously dangerous and riddled with thieves and unsafe to travel along. So it's not a shocking story that someone would be beaten, left there, and stolen from. But then some shocking things take place in the story as Jesus tells it. The first shock is that there's two people who we believe should have and could have and who we think would have helped, but they don't. One was a priest. Hate the story. Looks like me passes by on the other side. Supposed to help. And then a scribe, don't know exactly, scribe, but people who taught law and made laws, that person came down the road and went by on the other side. Shocking. That's the shocking. We're not shocked because we've heard the story many times. But it's shocked that these two people that should have helped and could have helped and needed to help, no, they passed by on the other side. And the other shock is that the person that you would least expect to help, the one that you would least, the last person in the world that you could count on to help anyone, the Samaritan. Now, if you are a good worldly and religious Jew, when they say Samaritan, it's like, these are bad people. They have, in our history, way back, you know, they were irreverent people, and we fought with these people, and forever and ever, these are people we don't like or care for, and it's a shock in the story that a Samaritan would come down and help, because some of the Jews would say, well, I don't even want your help. I wouldn't even want a Samaritan to help me. I'd rather lie in a ditch. And have the Samaritan help me. And it is the Samaritan who stops and sees him and tends to him and puts him on his donkey and takes him to an inn and pays for the night's lodging and leaves extra money and says, I'll come back and see if there's anything that expenses left. To such a degree, the Samaritan helps. And Jesus then says to the lawyer, you've asked me to define the term neighbor. Who proved to be a neighbor in the story? And he won't even say Samaritan. He says, the one who showed mercy. That one was the neighbor. And Jesus said to the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. It's a remarkable account and a story that we can take in so many ways. I can remember growing up in youth group, we acted this out. I can remember preachers preaching on this. I can remember Sunday school teachers teaching this. But it's ever new. And I don't know who I read this week, but they said there's three things you can do to people based on this account of the story. There's three things that we do to people. We can either beat them up, or we can pass them up, or we can lift them up. I thought that was pretty good. I could just say amen now, but you want the rest of the story, don't you? I mean, that's what they said. That's what you can do to people in life. You can either beat them up or pass them up or lift them up. You can beat them up, but we would never do that. We wouldn't be robbers on the road. No, I don't think. I don't know you all that well. You might. I don't know. You might see. But I don't think you would physically attack someone and leave them on the road. But sometimes it's not just a physical beating that we give to people. Sometimes it's emotional, sometimes it's verbal. Last week we talked about adding burdens to people's backs. Maybe, in a sense, we beat people up by adding a load to them, by asking them to do things that we should do ourselves, or keeping them distant from them. We can beat people up. Or we can beat them up, or we can pass them up. That's what the story is. They pass them up. Went by one side, says, I feel for you down there. Or we pass them by and say, only bad people fall into a ditch. Or you deserved your pit, ditch. You deserved your pit. Or you haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit. For whatever reason, they pass them by, pass them up. We can beat people up, we can pass them up, or we can lift them up. And the Samaritan sees someone in need, who seemingly was invisible to the priest and the Levite who passed him by, and maybe they didn't see, or maybe I think more just ignored him. They saw him not as a neighbor, perceiving him perhaps to be a burden and a threat, and they had things to do. The Samaritan saw him. The Samaritan did not only saw him, but he got close. He drew near. The others passed by. You ever gone around your way to get away from people? You know, if you go to the local Walmart today and I'm in one aisle, what are you going to do? Are you going to say hi, or are you going to duck on the other aisle? Because sometimes even the people you know, you duck, right? I'm just saying. I'm not saying I ever did that to you, or you didn't catch me doing it. But I'm just saying, sometimes you go out of your way to get away from people, don't you? You pass by. You take a wide berth. They say, oh, don't let them see me. My kids do that all the time. I went to school with that person. Well, say hi. No, I don't want to say hi now. I'm going to do that. Right? You duck by. You go out of your way. Samaritan saw and drew closer, and he had compassion on him. Seeing, drawing near, and having compassion. Well, that's kind of Christ-like, isn't it? And that's what we believe God does to us. And Christ saw us, drew near to us, and even in the cross showed compassion to us. It's a very Christ-like matter that the Samaritan is involved in. Who is my neighbor? What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, go and do likewise. Who is your neighbor? Well, it could be someone that lives next door to you. Could be someone who is experiencing pain or struggles or challenge and sorrows. And you and I have the choice to draw near or pass by. And I guess the parable asks a lot of questions of us. Am I willing to be a good Samaritan to other people when I see people in need? Can I do that? I don't want to do it. Just to be honest, I got things to do, and I'm traveling, and someone's got a problem. I got to get there, right? And is that what the story's telling us? If I stopped, would you tell your son or daughter to stop with someone on the highway? It's dangerous, right? It's a possibility. There's risks involved. Is that what the story's telling us, that we should stop even into dangerous situations? I don't know everything the parable teaches. But am I willing? I think we can try to be good Samaritans, but I think we got to have a change of heart to really. I think we have to be people that have been like people in the ditch. Have you ever been stranded on the highway? Someone helped you? Makes you more likely to help someone else, doesn't it? Have you ever been alone and someone took the time to come to you? It makes you more willing to go to someone who's alone. Have you ever experienced someone else is going out of the way to help you? Then I think sometimes it just changes a change of heart for us to reach out to someone who is in need. It's a change of heart. What if we were people who were willing to see need and draw near and to have compassion? What if? I don't know. I'm a little leery of stopping. I could be the next victim. They beat him up. Somebody else could be around the corner and beat me up too. And there are really risks involved in life with helping others. What will happen to me? What will happen to me? Maybe that's a question we should ask, but we also maybe should ask the question, what will happen to them? The story of the Good Samaritan has maybe two different stories. Viewed from the road, it's a story to remind us to help those who are lost and hurting. Viewed from the road, it's a question of whether we can extend help when someone has a need. But it's also a story, not just with a view from the road, it's a story that is viewed from the ditch, where all of us have been one time or another. And I think this parable asks us a really rich question. If I was stuck in a ditch, who would I want to help me out? And would I let somebody help me? Like a Samaritan. You put in whatever name you have of someone you don't like. You put in someone's nationality or color or just somebody personally who has hurt you, would you want that person to rescue you in your time of need? I don't know. I think sometimes the story reminds me that God does some unexpected things in life. I've experienced grace from some really strange people in my life. People I'd never expected to help. People I probably had a bad opinion of. And maybe the story is about being more helpful to those in need. Maybe it's about that, but I think it has a lot to do with how we deal with other people and how we view people. Because it was, Jesus went out of his way to tell a story, then he put the name Samaritan in there. Jesus, of all the names. You know, you're a Jew. Well, I'm a Jew. We're all Jews here. You put Samaritan in there? What if God would use someone in your life that you have a prejudice against? What if God would use someone against you have a grudge against? What if God would, you know what? God can do that. God comes in the person of Jesus, who was despised and rejected. We're 2,000 years later, and we've dressed Jesus up as if he's always acceptable. But Jesus wasn't always acceptable to religious people. And he came, and he healed, and he loved, and he taught us to go and do likewise, which means helping people in need when we can. It also means receiving help from folks we may not even like. Because God's grace is bigger than our limited vision of who's hurting or who we will allow to help us. God's grace comes to self-justifying lawyers and outcast Samaritans. And it comes to robbers on the road and people in pits. It comes to priests and Levites. It comes to you and to me. God's grace comes to all colors and shades and tones, and God's come, and no one is beyond the reach of God's love. No one. And no one in God's grace is to be left in a ditch. I think the story challenges me to be reminded that no one is beyond the reach of God's love. No one. And God does amazing things in this world that no one could ever expect. God uses all kinds of people, even me and even you. I hope this parable, which is altogether familiar for you and for me, shocks you a little bit today. Because when Jesus told it, it was shocking that the people that were supposed to help didn't, and the one person that would never help did. And maybe, just maybe, that's a challenge for me to be reminded, to be not so quick in life to beat people up. If you're doing that, you need to stop it. Don't beat people up. Either with your fists or with your words or your attitudes. And don't pass them up. You might not be able to solve everybody's problems, and you're not supposed to change every tire, but I mean, realistically in your life, is there a time that you've taken a wide berth when you probably could have come near? Don't beat them up, and don't pass them up. Find a way to lift somebody up. Find a way to lift somebody up. There are some people you know that life has dealt a difficult blow, and you can't solve the problems and make it all better for them, but maybe you can find some way to lift them up. And be ready and be prepared to be shocked that God is acting in this world to lift you up too with some unfamiliar hands. Because that's a story that Jesus told, and it was just a story, but the truth is altogether real. What do I got to do? Someone asked Jesus. What do I got to do? What do I got to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, it's by the grace of God that someone's going to lift you up. And if you want to do anything, do something like that. Go and do likewise. And that's my challenge, and that's your challenge. Because Jesus told a story that he wanted us to hear. Let us pray. God of the ages and Lord of this moment, speak to our hearts once again. Lift your people up who have been beat up by life. Cause us to do like that. Glory be to God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, in whom there is life, and in whom there is life forevermore. Amen.